If you have a Bible this morning, you'll find our text in the book of Galatians. Book of Galatians. We do thank the Lord for the privilege to have been here these days and appreciate Brother Billy's kindness and allowing us to fill this slot, and we do not take it for granted. Brother Billy and I have known each other for a long time. I had the joy of preaching across the street many times. We had a sardine church over there. Had to get early to get a seat. And had some good days over there. Had some good days here. And we thank the Lord for the privilege to be here these days. I would mention this morning, if you're interested in studying the Bible outside of church, we do have a website, tomgillum.com, and we do have a YouTube site, @714preacher. We do a live stream every week, and there's probably around 300 videos between the two sites, all kind of written material and audio material. If any of that material will fit your gun, it's free. You help yourself to it. Don't give me any credit for it. I probably stole it from somebody else. I'm a collector of thoughts. I don't know that I've ever had a new thought on my own. So any of that material is helpful to you. TomGillum.com or @714preacher. We've been since Sunday morning preaching on the subject of being rightly related to a tree. Various and sundry people in the Bible had a relationship to a tree. We looked at Adam and Eve. They found themselves behind the tree of the fallen. Zacchaeus, he found himself up a tree. It was the tree of the favored. Elijah found himself under a tree. It was the tree of the fainting. And then yesterday, David found himself like a tree, the tree of the fruitful. You wouldn't have to go down to Titusville, get your rocket science degree to find out what the last one was. Galatians chapter 3, Christ found himself on a tree. It was the tree of the finished. Paul says in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. This is the Easter story that began at Christmas. So much was completed for me by his death on Calvary's tree. Expressed so many times in songs, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore. Love grew where the blood fell. Of course, the most famous, on a hill far away, stood an old rugged cross. I want to expand a little bit in exegesis this Paul's words. The finished work on Calvary, I'm sure you're aware of it. If you're not, let me make you aware of it. Christ accomplished more on the cross than you missing hell and getting heaven. If that's all you got, you didn't get much. He did so much more than that. As we begin to think about it this morning, I want us to see, first of all, that Calvary tree freed us from a self effort. This tree freed us from the self-effort of salvation. He says in chapter 3 and verse 3, he says, "Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you made perfect by the flesh? Do you really and truly think for a moment that you had anything to do with your salvation?" I was thinking about salvation's effort in salvation. A little verse over in Ephesians, don't want to confuse you with the Bible, it's just a few pages to your right. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 1, "And you hath he quickened who are dead." Paul said before you guys say you's dead. I had an old deacon years ago, he had an earned doctor's degree from Bob Jones University. I thought he'd been smarter than what he was, but he called me on the carpet one day. He said he didn't agree with some things I was preaching. I thought it surely it was something much deeper than what it was. He said, "I don't believe man's dead as you preach it." I said, "Sure enough." I said, "How dead do you think he is?" He said, "I think every man's got an ability within inside of himself to come to God on his own." I said, "Sure enough." I said, "You ever studied Ephesians 2:1? He said, "No, I don't think I have." I said, "The little word dead there is a little Greek word for corpse." I said, "How dead do you think a corpse is?" Have you ever given any thought to Ephesians chapter 2 in the order of events that Paul writes this text? Because he's got a dead man coming to life in verse number 1. And it's not down until verse 8 and 9 that he offers him the gift of grace and faith. A lot of people think it is their faith that raised them from the dead. Why in the world would God ever give a gift to a dead man? You got to wake him up first. Are you listening to me? I'm talking about the self-effort of salvation. I heard an old preacher some time ago, somebody asked him, "When did you get saved?" What would you be your answer to that? You got your date. You prayed. I love what the old man said. He said, "I got saved about 2,000 years ago on a hill outside of Jerusalem called Golgotha." He said, "When Jesus cried out, 'It is finished,' he said, 'I was as much saved then as I ever was going to be.'" See, Jesus didn't die to make my salvation possible. He died to make my salvation sure. He didn't die hoping I'd get saved. He died knowing that I'd get saved. He freed me from my self-effort. It makes me in my testimony want to give this testimony. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. Not only did it free me from the self-effort of salvation, but I notice in our text in Galatians chapter 3, it freed me from a self-effort of sanctification. A lot of people say, "God, he did all the salvation, now he left it up to me, I got to sanctify myself." Nah. He freed you from that too. He said then that verse 3, he says, "Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, if he started you in the Holy Ghost, what makes you think that now it has been turned over to you to perfect yourself?" It has not. Self-effort of sanctification. I see also that Calvary's tree freed me from the self-effort of struggling. Everybody's got a list of do's and don'ts. And it is very confusing for a man like me. Because I'm in 50 churches usually every year. And my wife will often ask me, "Can we do it this week?
or can't we do it? Because some weeks we can go to the beach, and some weeks we got to go to the coast, and some weeks we can just go east. Are you listening to me? All kinds of lists of do's and don'ts. Paul said in Galatians chapter number 3 and verse 24, wherefore the law, your list of do's and don'ts, was not to make you more holy or to make you stand out in a group. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. It's always about getting to Him. It is not about me struggling. It's not about me hearing that you've got a conviction and I add it to my list. And I hear another preacher preach and he shares his conviction and I add that to my list. And I get to the place where the list, I can't keep it myself. But He kept the law. Matter of fact, He says in verse 10 of chapter 3, for as many as are the works of the law are under the curse of the law. He said, curses is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. In other of Paul's writings, he says, if you was to break one of those laws, you broke them all. So your little list of do's and don'ts, if you break one of them, you're done. You done broke them all. Ruh-roh. He freed us from that. He has become a curse for us. So what am I to do? Paul said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Fill yourself with the word of God. He says in Ephesians, be filled with the Holy Ghost. If you fill yourself with the word of God, fill yourself with the Holy Ghost, you will live the Christ life because He will live it through you. I can't live the Christian life, but He can live it through me. I'm weak, but He's strong. I can't, but He can. I'm not faithful, but He is. I don't know if you would agree with me on this or not. I can't quit sinning, but He ain't never sinned. Are you listening to me this morning? I can't see what's ahead, but He's already playing what's ahead. He has freed me from a rival. I tell you, preacher, I've turned over a new leaf. I'm going to do better. Oh, gracious, tomorrow is going to be a new day. No, you're going to do worse than you ever started to do. Fill yourself with the Word of God. Fill yourself with the Holy Ghost. And He will live the Christian life through you. All about you doing. It's about His done. I notice also this morning that not only did Calvary's tree this morning free us from a self-effort, but I noticed that Calvary's tree forgave us from sin's excess. Sin's excess. I was thinking again this morning about the demands of the law. You've got the Bible there. Have you ever given any thought as to what a list of do's and don'ts, the law, when we orchestrate those do's and don'ts and all of those lists that we impose upon people, we're going back to the Old Testament. He says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, here's the demands of the law. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Jesus in other places said, without holiness no man will see God. Jesus said, unless you're perfect, you never see God. You ain't going to heaven if you're not perfect. How are you doing with that? Being perfect. That's what Jesus said. Know what Tom said? He said, you got to be perfect or you ain't going to see me. Rub, rub. How's that working out for you? See, your little list of do's and don'ts. I don't know. I've had a list of do's and don'ts. I've had one mile long, but it ain't never made me perfect. You listening to me? Calvary's tree. What am I going to do about this thing of perfection? You still got the Bible there? Hebrews. I love this verse. Oh, it just thrilled me every time I read it. Hebrews chapter number 10. It just blows my mind. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14. For by one offering, that's Calvary, he hath, he did what? He perfected. Preacher, how long am I going to be perfect? Forever. See, when he died on the cross, I was as much perfect then as I ever going to be. Perfected forever them that are sanctified. See, his death on the cross not only relieved me from a salvation struggle, but it relieved me of a sanctification struggle. Matter of fact, he said over in Galatians chapter 2, he said in verse 20, he says, I'm crucified with Christ. I was there that day he died. I was inside of him. And when he died, I died. Paul said, nevertheless, I live. He said, yet not I. He said, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. I'm sorry. Every time I see a verse with a bunch of personal pronouns in it, I cannot help myself. I have to take them all out and put my name in there. I just can't help myself. I rewrite the verse. Let me read it like it should have been translated. Tom Gillum was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, Tom Gillum lives. Yet not Tom Gillum. But Christ liveth in Tom Gillum. And the life which Tom Gillum now lives in the flesh, Tom Gillum lives by the faith of the Son of God who loved Tom Gillum and gave himself for Tom Gillum. I don't know about you, that whole verse just changes when I put my name in there. It frees me. I was always fascinated with the Jehovah's Witness that D.L. Moody met on the train, and they were discussing how to be saved. And of course, the Jehovah's Witness had a lot of different things that must be done and must be acknowledged and must be said and must be lived. And D.L. Moody told him, he says, you know, there's only two letters difference between my salvation and yours. Of course, the Jehovah's Witness was fascinated with that. He said, what letters are those? He says, an N and an E. The Jehovah's Witness says, you're going to have to explain. He says, your salvation is due. Mine's done. See, if you got a salvation that is due, it ain't never going to get done. Because, see, he already done it. So your doing ain't done in it. Are you listening to me? Struggle all you want to. The demands of the law and forgiveness. I notice there is the demonstration of the lessons of forgiveness. He says back in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 6, he says, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Abraham was the father of the faith. He says in verse number 9, so then they that which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham, the last verse in Galatians 3, and if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seeds and heirs according to the promise. I get what Abraham got when I believed. What did you get? He accounted righteousness to me. He justified me. He made me just as holy as Jesus Christ is when he saved me. And I cannot get any holier than that. Justified freely through Calvary's blood. Oh, what a standing is mine. Paul said he'll not impute sin to a righteous man. He took my sin and my sorrows. He made them his very own. My sin, not in part, but the whole, was nailed to the tree. I bear them no more. Past, present, future, they're gone. You say, preacher, listen, I'll buy into your past deal. I may buy into your present deal, but you're telling me that the sins I have not yet done are gone. Most of y'all know that I was in the 10th grade on 3 different occasions. Took 0 on all oral book reports. My wife says that I'm electrified up here. When I get back to the seat, I'm dull as dirt again. Would you help me with this? You can help me with this is yes, this is no, this is I don't know. Do you believe when Jesus died on the cross that he became sin for us? He took sin upon himself. This would be a good answer. Would you tell me this? Because one of the things I flunked in the 10th grade so desperately was English. I never could get those verb tenses right. See and saw and I seed and I saw. I never could get all that. Would you tell me what verb tense was my sin in when he took it upon him? Was it not all in the future tense then? And they're gone. You ever get a hold of that, you kick them back in out of your choir robe. It'll free you. You wouldn't be putting everybody under a microscope, getting your little ruler out. Is this too short? This is too long. Are you listening to me? Calvary free you from a lot of things. I see not only did it deliver from the lessons of forgiveness and the law and forgiveness, but it delivered us by the Lord in forgiveness. He says in chapter 3 and verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us. It has the idea of buying a slave off the market. So now we know that you were dead before you got saved, and you were a dead slave. I don't know how you think about this. I don't think anybody would want a dead slave. Do you? Man, I'm gonna go down there on the corner. They selling dead slaves, and I'm gonna get me a truckload of them. No. The great book of Ruth, been preaching through it here lately, the grace that found me. Boaz redeemed Ruth. She's a Moabite. She came into the family of God out of a pedophile relationship that a daddy had with his own daughter. That's where the Moabite people come from. The law said all Moabites had to go to hell to the 10th generation. But grace stepped in and said, Ruth, we're going to let you go. Grace found her and redeemed her. And of course, in my crazy mind, I got to thinking about that. You know good and well after Boaz and Ruth got married, you know, a lot of times ladies get to thinking, you know, especially if they've come from that lifestyle, that they came out of a group that began with pedophiles. You know, she probably thinking bad about herself. She's probably thinking everybody looking at her. It's
Say, what in the world do you think you getting a family of God? And I got to thinking, this just in my mind, don't go hunting for it in the Bible because it ain't in the Bible, just in my stupid mind. I was wondering one day, she's telling Boaz, she said, you know, she said, nobody likes me around here. I'm an old Moabite, and they just look down on me. And he says, hold on a minute. And he went in the back, and the old trunk back there, and he got an old scarlet cord out of there. He said, this belonged to my mama. He said, she's Rahab the harlot. She was a woman of the night all her life. And she put this red bloodline down out of the window. And the whole family got saved. And now she's in the genealogy of Christ. The only thing that is missing is the harlot. It's just Rahab now. I love the hound out of that. Not only did he take all my sin away, he took my title away. I'm no longer a sinner, but I'm a saint of God now. Because of what he did on Calvary. Yep. I was thinking maybe the first year after they got married, old Boaz was startled about 4 o'clock in the morning one morning. This ain't in the Bible either. Don't go looking for it. Just in my crazy mind. And he raises up in the bed and she's got the light on and she's putting on her clothes. He said, Ruth, what in the world are you doing? She said, this is the first day of barley harvest. She said, I'm going to have to go out and glean. I can see him sitting up in the bed now laughing. He said, oh, Lord, honey. He said, come get back in the bed. He said, we own the whole cotton picking thing. He said, you ain't got to do nothing. We done. Are you listening to me? Calvary's tree. Notice last of all this morning that Calvary's tree filled us with the Spirit in eternity. Our position in the Spirit, he says in Galatians 3:3, are you so foolish having begun? Where did I begin? I began by him placing me in the Spirit. I have been placed in the Spirit. What a position, what a standing is mine. I didn't do that, he did that. Position in the Spirit. I notice there's the power of the Spirit. He says in Galatians 5:16, then I say then walk in the Spirit. You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How can I walk in the Spirit? Fill yourself with the Word of God. Fill yourself with the Holy Ghost. You will walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He says in verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that you cannot do the things that you would do. If you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Oh, you fill yourself with the Holy Ghost. You fill yourself with the Word of God. You haven't got to check and see if you're keeping this list and keeping that list. Oh, no, you'll begin to walk like Christ did. You'll begin to produce His life because all of that was done on Calvary's tree. This is the Easter story that began at Christmas. Christ on a tree. The greatest of all wonders leaves us with a feeling of continual surprise. Because it was on that cross that he did the unexpected, the unexplainable, the unusual, the unbelievable. The old songwriter said it well when they said, the wonders of wonders. As she looked on his face,
that this little boy spake the world into place. The stars and the moon shining brightly on them, the earth and the sun created by him. The wonder of wonders as she looked down and smiled that he was the maker as well as her child. He created the womb that had given him birth. He was God incarnate come down to earth. The wonder of wonders. She heard his cry that this voice had thundered on Mount Sinai. The small hand she held in her hand so tenderly had made dry paths through the sea. The wonders of wonders, oh, how could it be that the God who became flesh and was given for me, the Almighty came down and walked among men. The wonders of wonders, he died for me. Somebody asked old Al Smith before he died. He had gone through so much tragedies in his life. He was a great songwriter. They said, Al, how in this world have you made it through all of those sorrows and all of those tragedies in your life? I love what Al Smith said. He said, I've never lost the wonder of it all. May we this morning... All these other trees are interesting to study. Please, don't miss the wonder of this tree. May our testimony in the coming days not be all about what we did, what we prayed, what we professed. But it may it be more of nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Thank you, Brother Billy.